The following podcast is recorded and produced by the Podcast Precinct in affiliation with the network at bicbp-radio.com. The Podcast Precinct. Consistency, creativity, culture.
Welcome back to the Starry Night Theater podcast. I'm your host, Alex.
I'm your other host, DJ. Today is, you probably got it from the post and from the name of this. It's our last Starry Night Theater podcast episode ever of all time.
It's so abrupt.
It is.
The first 2 seconds.
We're blunt. We're honest. There's a lot of things that went into it. So let's just, we just jump right in, right? Just get right into it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We started this, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
2 years ago. I don't think either of us fell out of love with it. Like, I still love doing this. I still love coming here every Sunday and talking about it. But there are factors that led us here. Number one, and, like, this was my decision. This was not Alex's decision. I just kind of sprung it on her, and she was supportive, which I appreciate.
I tried convincing, but you know.
Yeah.
It didn't work, but it's okay.
So number one, first and foremost, we need to button up as a company. We need to get more professional all around. Cause we had auditions, and just things that like I've been noticing the past couple of years that's just like kind of unraveling. Kind of just everyone's getting real comfortable, real unprofessional, real casual about everything that's happening, which we talked about this before we turned this on. Like we can't completely equate that to the podcast. Like that's not the podcast's fault, but giving a background look at everything, I think people are like, I see what's happening. I know what's happening. I'm in the know. I'm real casual, real comfortable. Cause we're unprofessional on here. I'm unprofessional on here. You're not.
I mean, it's also a place to, you know, speak the truth and like also what just give a behind the scenes of, and that's what we wanted to do, give the behind the scenes of the operations of the theater and welcome new people and see different perspectives. And sometimes that is taken advantage of or, yeah, people see too much and then.
Yeah. And share people's stories. Like, I'm going to go back and listen to all of them, but, like, the people have been here since day one, hearing their stories of how this was built and how they feel about it now and where it's going. Like, that's all super important to me. And then, like, our last episode, having three new people on and hearing their stories and where they came from and why they're here and all that. Like, I think that's really cool. I think that's something we did really well. But like I think that people just got maybe too much of a glimpse behind the curtain, which leads into the second point of since episode one, and it's more so me because I'm more erratic or
I don't know if erratic is the word, but you're outspoken.
Yeah.
And not that I'm not, I also don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Right.
Whereas you're more like you can because you know you're in charge of
right.
the theater and, you know, what happens. So you're more comfortable doing that. I don't want to, like, say too much.
Right.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a good balance, but.
And that's, like, that's, yeah, kind of why we wanted to start it, too, though, is to be honest and talk about, you know what, this audience maybe wasn't the best. You know what? This performance was not the best of this show, or this show wasn't the best, and stuff like that. And I think that the truth isn't for everyone, especially actors, because you know your emotions are constantly at a level 12 out of 10. And I've had my word since episode one, truly, since the first time we started. I have a story about it, but I'm not going to share. Maybe Old Knee would have shared it, but I'm not going to share it. Maybe that's too much of a glimpse. I do have a story from episode one where one of my stories was used against me and was completely misunderstood. The entire story, the entire point, moral of the story was used against me and was completely wrong. So I'm thinking about texts from, you know, what do we have, like 90 episodes or something? I'm thinking of texts from all 90 episodes that I'm just like, oh, you had a problem with this, and I really think it's because you completely misunderstood or misinterpreted what I said. I've also had my words just come back to me completely twisted. Like, hey, don't think you should have said this. Look back, I never said that. Like, I just, like, in no way, shape, or form did I ever say that. So people are misunderstanding, they're misinterpreting, and that's fine. I mean, I'm putting it out there, so you have the right to misunderstand and twist my words, which is, I guess, is part of why I just want to take it away then. Like, there's enough.
And that's your right.
Yeah.
I mean, you started it. You started the podcast. You can do whatever you want. I think it's fine to have discourse about, like, what is said on the podcast. Otherwise, I mean, you'd never have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
But it is indicative of, like, what social media is like nowadays, where it's just constant opinions without knowing the facts or talking to the people who presented this information and just basically, like, playing telephone, too, and things get misconstrued and feelings get hurt, and that's not what this podcast was intended for at all.
No.
Like, I love this podcast because I learned so much from having the guests on. Like, I have become more confident as an actor and more confident as a performer in general just because of who we've had on and the stories that we have heard. And I wouldn't have known these stories had we not done the podcast.
Yeah.
So for that, I'm very grateful. And I, of course, am sad that it's ending, but I understand the reasoning behind why.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I think there's a lot of positive things that came from the podcast and a lot of really great episodes that I'm going to listen back to. And I think it's great to just have these out. Like, we're not deleting everything. They're still going to be there. But I just think these two reasons are real, real kind of big, real kind of heavy. And we have to act on it sooner than later. But I just kind of got fed up with the second part. I mean, with both of them, I guess. And I am outspoken, and I think people just would take that and be like, well, surely this is what you meant by that. And it's not. Like, I said what I meant. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to bring up examples because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but it's truly been for all 2 years of this podcast, I would just like the craziest misunderstanding of anything that I've said. And it's like, no, there was no subtext to that. I literally said what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you texted me about it, which was literally just a week ago.
Yeah, it was a week ago, like, yeah.
Out of nowhere, I'm like, you were like, I have shocking news. And I'm like, oh God, what is this going to be? And then you said it, and I'm like, you know, there have been times when I'm like, oh, I don't want to get up in the morning, or I'm just not feeling it today. Like, having something every Sunday, every morning of a Sunday is a lot.
Yeah.
And, but like, once it was taken away, I was like, oh, no, I actually kind of like that and need that and want that. And so, yeah, I was definitely a little sad. I you told me before audition, so I was like, why did you tell me this now? Now my brain is like exploding. But yeah, I just think I really loved doing this, and I just wish that people could take it as is and not see anything as a slight on them.
Yes.
Because this is really for good.
Well, and I agree with what you said before. It's like, it's their right to get upset. So, like, I say I dislike a show, or, you know what, this performance really wasn't good, it is absolutely your right to say no, like, you're an idiot. And I would love that, if that's what it was, but that's not what it is. It's literally, like, I would say, oh, this, you know what, this performance was not the best, and I know this cast is capable of more, is what I would say. And then I would get texts like, wow, you said I was horrible in the show, what's wrong with you? Like, no. That's literally not what I said. Like, there is nothing behind what I said. It's literally just face value what I said. And so, like, I'm so sick of hearing that. It's like, I think I would know what I said because, right, it came out of my mouth. You know, like, that's kind of important. I thought about it before I said it, which doesn't always seem like the case. But, like, I don't know. I have a right to be upset, to get angry. You're directing something, you're putting all your time into something, and you feel like other people aren't, then yeah, this is a place to talk about that. And I've never called anybody out. I've never said, well,
I
hey,
mean,
you
also,
suck.
We didn't come here to do that.
Right.
That's not what this podcast was about.
No.
It wasn't to make anyone feel better. But you still want to speak some truth. You don't want to sugarcoat everything.
Right.
And why should you? Because people are too sensitive, and maybe that's too much to say. Maybe someone will get mad at me for saying
that. Oh, they
will. I was like, that came out of my mouth, and I'm like, oh god.
Welcome to every Sunday of the podcast.
Someone's gonna think something of that. But I never experienced what you experienced, because first of all, I don't have half their numbers, so they can't like text me out of the blue. But also, yeah, I never experienced that. Because I also would censor myself more.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like I had a right to say certain things anyways. But, yeah, so I didn't experience what you did. And so, for me, it's like, well, why do we have to end this? But, like, since you've explained it, I'm like, okay. Like, I try to imagine myself
right
receiving all those comments constantly, like week after week, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that is exhausting and makes you not want to do what you wanted to do
yeah.
in the first place.
Yeah, and we talked about, like, we don't care if we have 2 listeners or 100 listeners. We just always had more listeners than what we thought. But I do like that we made it a place where it's like, you know what, let's come in and talk about the guy who was snoring during Spirits of the Dead. Like, let's talk about that, because
that's
reality. Yes. Like, let's be real on the podcast through and through. Let's not come in and say, you know what, every audience we have is fantastic. No, sometimes they suck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real. And that's theater. And people will listen to that and be like, wow, maybe they shouldn't say that. But, like, yeah. No, that's
but it's
true.
It's like saying things that everyone's thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that. There's so many things in life where everyone thinks something, that same thing, and then no one says anything because we're caught up in what other people think.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be a space where you can just say what you think. Obviously, like, to an extent, you don't want to be rude. Like, being real isn't synonymous with being rude.
Right.
And that's where I think people are losing what our intentions are.
Yes. Yeah, and, like, I'll be completely honest with you, and I think everybody knows this who knows me. It's like, I could have gotten real rude on the podcast. Everyone has rude thoughts every single day of their life. I probably have more than anybody else. So it's like, I could have gotten rude. You want me to get rude? I'll get rude on the podcast. But I don't believe personally that I ever was rude. I was never malicious.
I don't think so.
I was just very honest.
Yeah, I don't think you were ever rude. And I mean, if you were, and I don't want people to sit here and think like I'm just agreeing with you because you're my friend
rude.
And because you are rude. No, because you're my friend and you're my podcast partner. But like, if you said something so egregiously rude, I would have said something. Like, I'm not just going to sit here and be like, oh, okay,
right.
We can just say what we want.
Right.
I would also call that out. But that never happened. So.
No. And like, there'd be like with the audience thing I said before, like, okay, we talked about that man snoring, and like, that was a really rough time for us as actors. So we're talking about that, and like, that whole audience was just not on. And like, comments that I would get from about that would be like, yeah, like you said, like you hate all audiences. And it's like, again, like that's just not what it was. Like I said, this one night, this audience was not good. The audience can sit there and talk about us as actors, like, hey, man, this guy sucks. Hey, this guy's good. This guy's whatever. We also have that right as actors to be like, hey, this audience sucked. Hey, this guy sucked. Or this audience was great. Like, that's what it is. Like, that's, I don't know, like, you have that right. You both do it to each other. You're judging each other the whole time, the audience and the actors. So it's like, yeah, we're going to come on here and we're going to talk about our experience that was tough and how we got over it, how we got through it. Because sometimes you don't get over it. You just got to plow right through it. And I think everyone just expected, like, I actually don't know what they expected. I don't know. But I like that we were honest. I don't regret anything that I've ever said on this podcast. I would say it all again and probably worse. And I'm not and I'm not bitter about any of it because, like, now we're on to different things. We're on to better things. And it's our decision at the end of the day. Like, truly, your comments don't matter.
Yeah, because, like, don't get me wrong. Like, when you presented this to me, I did try to convince you that we should continue doing it.
Right.
And I was like, is it this? Is it, like, what are the reasons why you want to do this? And I was like, what if we, one, I was just like, who cares what people think?
Yeah.
But there is the perspective of the theater also being a business.
Yes.
And you have to do what's best for the business. And if something isn't working, then you have to change. And even though I was like, oh, maybe we can, like, work around this somehow, at the end of the day, it's the decision has been made and we both are okay with it. So,
well, and that's a big part of it too, is like, number one, this place is a business. So with being professional and stuff, like, you need to come into auditions like you're auditioning for the first time in your life. Like, this is a professional company. That is number one. Out of everything that we do there, it's a business. Because if we lose any part of that business, then we can't do anything else. We need to make money. Boom. One, business. Two is the art of it.
Which sucks, first of all, that it has to be that way. But that's reality.
That's reality. Welcome to America, folks. And people will be like, oh my God, you don't love making theater. It's like, no, this is real. I can make theater in my backyard for nobody. Is it as special? Absolutely not. So no, business comes first. The art of it is second. And then third is the relationships. And that's true. Does a paying audience care that you're friends with your co-star? No. They don't care. Just put on a good show. Like, that's the reality of it. And like, oh, well, that's a negative outlook. It's not. It's a real outlook. So, like, we need to be a business first. This podcast was not a great business decision because we made no money on it. And it's taking me away from the theater for 2 hours every Sunday. I could be over there working. I could be over there trying to make the best product possible. But we wanted to share stories. And I think that's really cool. And that's great for relationships, but it's not great for business. So business number one. And I think a lot of people have relationships and fun and all that above the business aspect. And it's going to start showing that I feel this way. Like, okay, you come in, you give a lackluster audition, you're not going to get cast. And people are shocked by their cast placement in anything. And it's like, okay, well, maybe you shouldn't have chose that song. Maybe you should have been prepared. Maybe you should have came and acted like 10% professional. And that's going to start showing. So know your stuff when you come into audition. Know that you want to be there. Don't just come because it's like, oh, well, it's fun and I'll be with friends. No, it's a business. Period. That's what it is. It's not a hangout. It's not any of that business. And we're going to have fun during it. Absolutely. We'll have fun. We'll make jokes. We'll like, read through for Hunchback was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And people were talking and cracking jokes. That's awesome. Love that.
Yeah.
You love to create something like that. But first is business, and we need to come in, we need to lock in, and we need to put on the best show that we can put on, or else we will no longer be able to do this. So, like, I love that people are coming and hanging out, and I, some of my best friends are in the company. I've made every single one of my best friends through this company, and that's fantastic, and I would not trade that in for anything else, but it's a business.
Yeah, unfortunately, but I agree. Do you want to talk about Hunchback auditions more specifically, or Was that it?
That's it, because people are going to read into that enough and be like, oh my God, he's saying that I suck on air. It's like, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Unless I say your name followed by you suck.
There's positive things about the auditions.
Absolutely. There are tons of positive things. I love Taylor. I love Catherine. Those two were certainly my rock throughout. I got very frustrated because a lot of people came in real casual, real unprofessional. And they were real positive. They were great about everything. So we casted the show. I had less anxiety about posting this cast list because I do want to move forward with this is a business. Yeah, we're friends. Sorry that you're, you know, not with the part that you wanted, but it's a business. And that goes for everyone. Like, every show I've ever casted, there's been people that I'm like, well, you're not getting what you want. Because everybody wants to lead, and guess what? There's, you know, only so many leads to go around.
Mm-hmm.
So someone's going to be disappointed every time, and I'd always feel super anxious about that. And this time I got better. It's like, business. I have to put aside every relationship I have because now it's like, it's crunch time. And this show needs to perform. Not only is it a musical in a winter slot, which we never do, this is a trial for all musicals ever in this slot. Or any other slot. So if this does well, yeah, there's a possibility we do two musicals a year every other year. If it doesn't, we're never doing another musical again in, mm-hmm. in a different slot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk to the cast about that. Say, like, if you like this, if you like doing musicals here, then you got to bring people in because this has to do well. It also has to perform. For me as a director, I feel like I need this to take off. In Christmas Carol, we had a lot of really great reactions, and I love that. But I was not 110% happy with it. And I don't know if I ever was going to be because I love the story so much. Mm-hmm. But as a director, you want to sit back, look at it, and say, I am so happy and so thoroughly proud of this. And I didn't completely feel that with A Christmas Carol. But the reactions, the audience reactions, really helped. And a lot of people, like, I heard no negative feedback, which is great. Love that. But you want to feel that yourself. You want to feel proud of yourself.
Yeah.
And Frankenstein and Sweeney, which my father warned me about, he's very wise. He said that you're going to be chasing these things. He said about Frankenstein more so. So you're going to be chasing this for the rest of your directing career, and it's going to suck. And it's going to be painful every time you put out a show that you're not as proud of.
Yeah, it's going to make you think that, like, oh, did I only have one good one in me?
Yeah.
Which isn't true. But you want to feel that yourself.
Yes.
Like, no one telling you that that's not true is going to convince you.
Right. And so this show is very important and needs to hit on so many levels that it's time to just lock in and get real serious about it. And auditions were great. Read-through was great.
I think the cast is a very respectable cast. I think once you, like, tell them what the rules are, like, what you want out of this. I mean, you did at read through, but, like, anything else to add, I think they will, their group of people will acknowledge and respect it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, I want this show mentioned whenever my name is mentioned. Like, oh, did you see Hunchback when he did it? It was awesome. It was amazing. Like, that's what I'm hoping out of this show. So the bar is super high. I would love to continually talk about it week to week here and bring on some of the cast members and talk about, like, okay, what's it like playing Quasimodo? Like, that's, mm-hmm. I think, interesting. But it's not going to happen. And I think this is also, hopefully, will show how serious I am about it. Because there are a few things I love more than doing this podcast. And it's over. So
very, very blunt.
It is. It's over.
It's gone.
But, I mean, it's time to get serious about everything. And this is a very serious move to show that.
It is. It is a very serious move. That's why I wasn't sure at first. I was like, are you playing with me?
Well, that's what I meant by erratic. Like, it doesn't take much, but it's,
yeah, because I had said, like, when we were talking, I was like, you seem like an all or nothing type of person. Like, when something shifts in your mind, that's it. There's no, like, convincing you otherwise.
Yeah.
And, like, it didn't matter what I said. I was like, He this is what he is leaning towards. This is how he feels. That's that.
But if you were very real passionate about it and said no.
Yeah, but at that point, like, okay, I did, yes. I mean, I did try to convince you. And I did think, like, what if I just said, I don't want this to be the case. I think we should still do it, which I sort of did. But I think I wouldn't want to do it with someone who isn't all in.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I didn't, like, try extra hard. I wasn't like, no, we're doing this. And maybe I should have, but I also, yeah, I don't want to come in week after week and you're really, like, halfway out the door. Like, you're half in, half out.
Right.
It should be an all-in type of thing. And so if that had been the case, then, yeah, we would have continued. But that's not, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I told some people, and the reactions were all like, oh, okay, like, all right, I get it. And that's not the reaction you want to hear. Like, you're like, oh, okay. Like, you want, like, throwing themselves to their knees, screaming and crying, no. And that wasn't the reaction. And that's okay, because that's honest. And that's reality.
Well, then they probably were people who didn't listen.
No, they did. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's over, and it was fun, and it was, I really, really, really enjoyed it. But, yeah, I think this is the best move, and I can't wait. This is going to be something that people bring up, and I'm all in on it. Bring it up to me, please. I cannot wait for people to come up and say, oh, well, I would have taken your spot.
What?
I know for a fact.
I was not expecting that.
I know for a fact it's going to happen, because it's theater, and everyone thinks they're a star. And that's going to get brought back to me, too. I'll just start pointing it out. Every time I say something in this episode, that's going to get brought back to me. You think everyone thinks you're a star. Yeah. Yes, I do. And people are going to say, oh, well, I could have taken over your spot. Like, why didn't you say something? Why didn't I say something? You who come in one show out of all six in a season are not going to run a weekly episodic thing about my company.
I mean, also on the flip side, I don't think I would have wanted to do it with anyone else.
No.
Like, could you imagine me just being like, oh yeah, okay, bye DJ, I don't care about you. As long as the podcast is still going, that's what I care about.
And then it would be like, hey, what's going on in the theater? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm in. I'm there every day. I know what's happening. So it's like, if I'm not doing the podcast, nobody's doing the podcast. And I hope. This is what, 27 minutes in. I hope that I get a text before 27 minutes in from someone like, oh, like, you know, if you guys really want to, I hope you get a text. That's what I hope. I hope you get a text. It's like, hey, like, if you still really want to do the podcast, I'll do it with you. I will cackle like a witch. Because that's just insane. But, yeah. I don't want to come off as completely bitter, because it sounds like I am, but I'm the one making the decision. So it is, that's reality. That's life. And the theater's going to survive. And maybe in a couple years down the line, we'll do like one episode and be like, yeah, it worked. We're thriving. I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, this ending the podcast, we become millionaires.
Ending the podcast made me lock in, and I am now directing on Broadway. Starry Night Theater is a proud Broadway theater. But yeah. And I do think there's a lot of good stuff happening right now. And Christmas Carol, we never like got to really touch on the end of that. And I was very happy with where it came to be. The rehearsals beforehand were, it was like every show. There were the rehearsals the week before were like, oh no, like this is not good. And then everyone really stepped up and made it much better than what it was that week. And I'm grateful to the cast, but I'm really grateful for my dad, who just was incredible. Like the everyone leaving, would say Scrooge was incredible. Scrooge was my favorite. Love Scrooge. And Trevor also got so much love for that show. Everyone I heard a lot about Present. Oh my God, Present was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Like, I love both those people, and they worked their butts off, and I'm very, very proud of them. But it was just great to see my dad, because, like, a lot of people, like, Catherine came up. She's like, I've seen this every time you've done it. And she's like, there's just, like, a different life to your dad. Like, he's just so different in this role this time. And I saw it, and mm-hmm. the work that he put in, and I'm just, I'm really proud of that. And I talked about this 100 times before. Like, I love, it's incredible when somebody that you love is getting, you know, standing ovations, everyone's clapping for them and cheering and hooting and hollering. Like, there's no feeling better on planet Earth than that. So, like, that was great. Probably my biggest takeaway from it.
Yeah, I think there's something about Christmas Carol on stage, because I'm not, like, a huge fan of the films, but when I see it on stage, I love it.
Yeah.
And part of that reason is your dad and how he portrays Scrooge. It's just so fun. Like, it's, he has the serious aspects to it, but then he brings a little comedy.
Yeah.
And I love that, because there is truth in comedy, and I think that's where there's a good balance of, like, he's a very miserable person, but he can at least, like, maybe laugh about it. Laugh, yeah, in his misery.
Yes.
And I think your dad does that so well that I don't really get from the movies.
I agree. My struggle with that, and I think I talked about it on here already, is that, like, you have a 2-hour show, and you have to, like, make the people care about this man enough to watch it. And you also have to make them care, like, okay, this was his past. And you're not going to see all of it. You're going to see, like, little glimpses of it. So it's like Elena and Alex, who we had on last episode, they need to make this connection mean something in 2 minutes. And it's like, that's near impossible. And it happens with the present scenes, and it happens with the future scenes. And it's one of the hardest shows I've had to direct just because of that. Like, make people care about these random people, and you have no time to do it. And everybody worked really hard, and I'm very proud of all of them and all their hard work. But that was, it was harder than I thought it would be to direct that.
Did your dad directed the last time?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. This was your first time directing Christmas Carol?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Why was it harder than you expected?
Just because, like, so it's one we've done 400 times, so it's like, all right, this, I know it. I know the story inside and out. Like, it's going to be easy to do. And then it's like, here, we'll show you 20 minutes of who Scrooge is. And then it's, now his dead partner is going to come back and tell him that his whole life's going to change if he chooses to. And you have to care enough about that after seeing this awful person for 20 minutes. You have to care enough about this journey. Then past comes in, and now you have to watch his past, which I think is really cool to see, but hard to care about, because everybody in the past has to show why Scrooge ended up the way he did. So, like, we need to get as much sympathy for this man as possible, but he also has to be a horrible person. And that's really hard to convey. And again, like, Elena and Alex, like, this is a huge part of why he is the way he is. He fell in love and lost her. And you have not even 2 scenes to set that up. 2 short scenes to set that up. And I think they did it successfully. And I think, like, those two are fantastic. Elena and Alex, shout out both of them. But my dad coming in and making the connections and reacting, and that's something we really wanted to work on this time, was, not that I haven't seen it since I was, I don't even know, before I played Tiny Tim. So, like, I don't really remember. But, like, just really show the emotion on Scrooge's face. And I think you really felt that. And he would come into all the scenes and just, like, be gutted by that. And I think that really helped to be like, oh, wow, okay, that is something. But it was a lot of work to get there. And then watching his sister die, it's like, here's this 2-minute scene. Make the audience feel something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, that's really
I remember that scene, like, playing fan. And at the time, I was new to the theater. And, like, when I look, when I think back about that performance, I'm like, damn, that I didn't think about it like that. Like, you have 2 minutes to, like, portray this intense relationship and try and convince the audience that they should feel for you.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it back then like that. And I wish I had. Because, yeah, you really only... you're on stage for, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And you have to convince them that they should want to feel bad for you or feel your pain.
Yeah.
And that is, like, that's something really intense to do in such a short amount of time. How do you do it? So for you, well, yeah, I can't imagine that struggle of finding that balance.
And it was interesting because I've been in it so long, stepping back, and I think this comes with growth and age and I don't know, wisdom, that you're like, I'm talking to Fred, and I'm talking to Michael, who's playing Fred, and I'm talking to him, like, try this and do this, because, like, we really want this to be the outcome. You know, A plus B equals C sort of deal. And thinking back to when I played it, never did I ever think anything that deep.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go out, say these lines in the party, and have fun. And not have fun, like, with friends. I'm just like, well, that's the whole point of this scene, is that Fred's having fun. And it's like, no, that's not the point of the scene. And so that's something that I wanted to tell everybody. And I think that's something I did a good job with, is making sure everyone knew, like, hey, this scene has a purpose. It's not just in here for fluff. It really does have a purpose. So let's try to bring that as forward as possible. And I think that really helped, because I never thought of it like that. Like you said, like, I was with you for our the
oh, yeah,
death
yeah,
scene.
Yeah. We did it together.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. Sad. You're dying. Bye. And it's like, it's so much deeper than that. And that's something I really tried to talk with everyone about. And I think that's the one place I'd give myself a pat on the back, is, like, realizing that. Because 6 years ago or 5 years ago, whenever we did it last, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, proud of that. I had something else to say off of that, and I just don't remember what it was.
Okay, so I'll say something controversial. Well, it just, like, a criticism, you know? Like, and we're trying to be real here. Like, I don't want to sugarcoat anything. I preferred last version, however long ago that was, 5 or 6 years ago. But the reason is because I loved seeing you with your dad.
Okay.
And like, knowing you guys, it obviously not everyone in the audience knows you two are related, but, like, knowing that added an extra layer. And that's nothing against Alex. Like, him and Elena were great. I loved their scene together. But then I remember there was, like, I don't know if I'm getting this mixed up with a different show, but I don't think so. There was a rose that dropped to the floor.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It was with, I don't know, Shelby or...
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, yeah, Shelby dropped the rose.
Yes.
And then I picked it up and we were
face
to face.
Yeah. Yes, the face to face.
We did that.
Yeah, but I feel like I just remember it being like, I don't know. I just remember it
more
in
impactful,
my mind.
Cause yes. It was me and my dad.
Yes.
That's understandable.
But, like, that's not saying anything bad about this version.
No, right.
Everyone's just... that's the point of this. Like, everyone has their opinion. There's nothing wrong with having your opinion. There's nothing wrong with,
no, that's,
like...
that's healthy.
Yeah.
That's healthy.
And also, you learn from that.
Yeah.
What can you do next time?
Right.
But yeah, there's no, I'm not saying anything bad about this one.
No.
It's just that was the one that, like, impacted me specifically more.
Yeah. There are people that mean something to you, and seeing that on stage is just going to mean more to mm-hmm. you. Like, yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, there are roles that my mother has played that other people have stepped into. And I'm not talking about All Through the Night, because that's going to be something people have a problem with. I'm not talking about All Through the Night, but other roles that my mother has played and people have stepped into and played. And I'm like, you're doing a great job, but I will always have this emotional connection to it because that's my mom. And I love my mom on stage. But, like, yeah. Or stuff that my dad has played. Like Irving, the whole Irving situation. This is an All Through the Night thing. I will always love my dad in that role over anyone else. And it's that doesn't mean anyone else is doing anything wrong. Sean and VJ have played it. Sean Pullen and VJ did fantastic jobs, but it changed the whole show for me. They're now in two different categories.
Yeah.
But my dad will always be my number one Irving, just because, one, he's phenomenal, but two, the emotional connection that I have to him and that he has to the story, it just means more when you're sitting back and you're like, he wrote this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. That's healthy.
There's not. It's just, like we were saying in the beginning of this podcast, like people will take things the wrong way.
Yeah.
And they'll think you're coming at you about something or saying something about them or their performance.
Right.
And you're not. You're just stating your opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. And if I were, if I were anybody else, I'd be like, wow, you just said in front of all of our listeners that you didn't like my last production.
That's why I said it this time, because I'm like, if this is our last one,
then. Yeah, go
and
for it.
Nothing,
I'm all over it.
There's nothing, and you know, not that I like never said anything bad about any other show. It's not even saying anything bad. It's just
I prefer this because I had a connection to it.
Yeah, and it's just giving critique. I mean, how else are they supposed to improve?
Right.
That's the point.
I had a similar conversation with my boss. His name is also Alex. Funny.
What is with all these Alexes popping up? My whole life, I've been the only Alex until like 3 years ago. And then I had a neighbor named Alex. Now I have a neighbor named Alex. My friend's boyfriend is Alex. Now there's this Alex here. Now there's that. There's just too many. And I'm the best.
There needs to be a duel.
No, I'm just
like
the
a bracket.
Number one. Wow, a bracket.
A bracket, and then you guys duel, and then we see who gets to keep the name.
Okay.
I'm in on that. I'll officiate. What was I saying? I had a conversation with my boss, Alex, and he thought I did something, and I didn't do it, but he didn't approach me about it. And I'm like, no, like we have a relationship where you can come and you can tell me that I did something wrong. Or that I can't say the word I said because we don't swear here, but a poop head. I said, if I'm being one, I want you to tell me that I'm being one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with directing. Like, if there's a show that's awful, I don't want you to come up to me and lie about it. I don't want you to say, oh my God, wow, awesome, fantastic, great. I don't want that. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
I also don't, this is where I'm, me. Like, I don't want, if somebody came up to me like, yeah, that was horrible, that was awful, or like, hey, this person did a really bad job, and it's like, now what part of me do you think doesn't know this? Like, that's where I am different. But like, you can come up and say, you know what, you tried, I saw that you tried this, you can't fix everything, you can't do everything, great, like, that's something I'll accept. Like, all right, You are being very honest with me, but you're not just being a complete moron.
And if someone is lying to you and saying that they enjoyed it and they're not offering anything else, that holds you back as a director, because you can't fix what or improve from yourself what you're currently doing if you don't know what to improve upon.
Yeah. Yeah. Unrelated, but I got recognized for Treasure Island yesterday.
What do you mean? What?
I was at the mall, and I gave my email.
I thought you were going to say autograph.
No. Yeah, I was signing stuff left and right. They had to get the stands out and stuff, form lines. No, I gave my email, and they're like, oh, I recognize this name. Are you with Ghostlight?
Oh, shit.
And I was like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, I saw Treasure Island. That was awesome. I was like, oh, thanks. I directed that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're just like cashing out?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. That was cool. That was cool.
Making an impact.
Making an impact with a show I didn't love.
Okay. Well, they did.
Yeah. And that's awesome. Like, see, like, that's, I will get down on shows because I know it's not the best, absolute best set that could come of it. And that's completely my fault, not any of the performers' fault, which I also feel like gets lost. When I say, like, hey, this performance wasn't the best, I take that on me because I'm directing. I'm the leader of it. So, like, if that fails, that's on me. And that's what I'm acknowledging every time I say, hey, this performance wasn't good. That's completely 100% on me. And that's something I think people don't understand. It's like, I feel like I come off as like, yeah, I did everything I could and these morons can't get this right. That's not it. Like, I have clearly not done everything I could do as a director if this performance is not hitting how it should. And so that's why there's so much pressure on Hunchback, because, like, the script is incredible, the music's incredible, everything should hit. If it doesn't, 1,000% on me and not on the cast, because, you know, as a leader, you need to make sure everyone is at that point. So that's probably a big misconception about me, not just this podcast, but about me in general. Yeah, I think that's it with that.
I really liked what you said at read through, which was like, I want this to be a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just my ideas, it's your ideas and how we can work together on them. And it, like, just setting the tone for the rest of rehearsals, I feel like that's something that's not always done.
Yeah.
And I really liked that you did that. I also really liked how organized you guys are. Like, I went up to Catherine and Taylor and were like, you guys are really organized, like, with just with the, like, calendar and the website and stuff. I think that shows professionalism.
Yeah.
And growth as a company.
And that's all those two. I'll be completely honest, give credit where it's due.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah, those two are very, very organized and awesome. Like, I really just love both of them. And they're making everything super easy, super professional at everything. So I really, really love those two. But yeah, that's something I never understand is when people are like, oh, I love that you like to collaborate. And it's like, well, I'm not going to direct something and be like, hey, I don't care what you feel about this character. This is what you're doing. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people think that when they step into whatever it is that, whatever theater, whatever they're doing, if the person in charge isn't forthcoming with that,
yeah,
if they don't state that in the beginning, then they may feel like that isn't possible.
Right. Right. And it has to be whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I feel like time, too, is a big part of it. It's like you need to do so much work at home. I can't be there with you in your house and be like, no, you're doing it this way, this way, this way. I'm going to give you everything that I want to see. And I already had great talks with Lucas and Alex right after rehearsal, day one, after read through, about how I wanted them to play the character, about how they want to play the character. And that, I think that is so healthy. And that gets people excited. If I looked at them and I'm like, no, I don't care how you want to play the character. What do you think I am? Like, then they're not excited. If people aren't excited about a project that they're putting a lot of time into and not getting paid for, they're not going to put the work in.
Yeah.
And these guys, I was already talking with them. We're excited. We're building characters that we're going to love. Like, I don't know. That's my favorite part about anything. And I love that people are getting more comfortable with talking to me. Like, Lucas and I talked after one of the first Jesus rehearsals. And he was a little like, oh, like, maybe we could do this or maybe we could do that. And now it's like, hey, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking this. And then we talk about it. Like, oh, maybe not this, maybe more of this. And I think that's super healthy. And I think, I don't know, that's part of the process that I love.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I prefer a director like that.
Yeah.
And someone who's, like, so standoffish.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Cricket. Oh, I had something to mention. I don't know how many episodes ago, but one of my beefs was that when you go on a recipe website,
yes,
you have to constantly scroll through the blog like post just
their
to
life
get
story.
To the, yeah, just to get to the recipe. And courtesy of someone on Instagram putting it on their story, there's this website called justtherecipe.com,
wow.
and you could copy and paste the URL into their search box, and the recipe, it's just the recipe that pops up.
How horrible is that? How absolutely
that there has to be another website that you...
No, that you are ripping this person's recipe out of their story. My mother, who has since passed, used to make this for me on the farm, and
it's
the best
Sunday
of my life.
No one is reading it. They are scrolling.
Oh,
and
no.
And you constantly have to, like, scroll back and forth. There's so many ads. I'm sorry. I'm all for this justtherecipe.com. And I know you are, too. You're just playing devil's advocate.
Just rip the personality right out of the recipe.
You know what? If you want to read it, go ahead. Don't use the recipe. Don't use the website. But
I feel like if I were a prepared person and I looked up a recipe before I started cooking, I would. But I'm usually like, it's in the oven already and I have to look at the recipe and then it's just...
Exactly. So long. You want to skip all that.
Yeah, but like I... I feel
I'm
bad.
So confused.
I feel bad every time I do it.
You would have been on the same page.
No,
as
I
this.
Am on the same page, but I feel bad every time I do it. Because like, they took the time to write this. I'm supposed to be all about the arts. This is art.
Okay,
and I don't
yes,
care about
it. I get like someone having a blog and like adding their recipes and
yeah.
doing all. I get that. But you know what? There's so many websites for recipes and they all are the same. I just want the recipe. Sorry.
Well, then maybe you find out why they bathe the potatoes before they peel them or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's in there. Maybe it's like my grandmother
did
it.
This is to help everyone else who cares.
That's,
if you care, it's justtherecipe.com.
Justtherecipe.com. I'll probably use it. And I'm not going to be proud of it.
But you do not read the
No,
post.
I don't. No. And every time I'm like, I should be reading this. I'm sure there's something sweet in here. And I skip right past it.
But sometimes they're like pages.
Yeah.
But I'm usually looking at the recipe in real time.
Yes. Yeah, I'm always looking at it in real time.
So
I'm
only,
never prepared.
Yeah, so I only have so much time
yeah.
to make the meal.
Yeah. I agree. What, since you brought up a piece of past podcast history... I've got...
Don't ask what my favorite is.
What's your favorite episode?
No! I don't. There's 89 now.
Yeah. I don't know what my favorite episode is, honestly.
As I'm looking it up. You know, there's too many that, like, don't have the names of people. And then I'm like, what was this one?
Yeah, and we stopped doing... whatever it's called. What are those called? Descriptions.
that stopped long ago.
I know, that's but it's like, I don't know. I don't know who's on this Sweeney Pod episode. I don't know this or that.
Let's ask a different question.
Who's your favorite guest?
Who?
Let's talk about getting in trouble. Who's your favorite guest? I loved having my dad on. Every time I had my dad on, yeah.
You know what? Oh, this is controversial.
I know. I think I know what you're going to say. Go on.
No, what do you think I'm going to say?
No, you say
no,
it.
No.
Say it, and I'll tell you if it's right. Because if I say something, it's going to paint you in a bad light. Unless you're painting yourself in a bad light, then I'll say it.
I don't think this would paint me in a bad light, only to you.
No, I don't think so either, but go on.
I want to say I really liked Rosie's episode.
Oh, okay. That's not what I thought.
Okay. What would you think?
Well, I'm not going to say it because then it might give something away.
But I want to know.
I'll tell you once we're off air.
Fine. Yeah, I was just going to say I liked Rosie on the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're like, you're totally...
No, it's because she was a superstar afterwards. And she's like,
oh, she was a diva.
Oh, everyone's talking about me. And then she's like, I should be on the podcast every week. But she does listen every week. So shout out Rose.
There we go.
She's probably gonna be pissed. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not sorry about saying pissed, because we established that's not a swear word.
Was that the word we established?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was. Poop.
What? Obviously, poop is not
a swear
word. No,
not poop. I can't say it.
No, no, it was pissed and damn.
Yeah, damn isn't. I remember damn.
Yeah.
Damn isn't.
No, the other one we never cleared because I would have said it in my story earlier if we cleared it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'd be saying it nonstop if we cleared it.
Okay. Do I have a question?
I loved every time Carla was on. She's always one of my favorite guests.
I mean, because she's so fun.
Yeah.
And she would play the games.
Yes. Love games. I love playing games. I wanted to do for our, 100th episode or Christmas or something, I wanted to do a question one again. A Q&A.
Yeah. About what?
Theater.
Okay.
Like, just post it on the story again and be like, hey, ask anything you want.
Oh, that Q&A. Okay.
But guess what? It's over, so it's not happening.
You know, I was thinking about asking you to do two more episodes because I was like, this is 89. Can we at least get to 90?
No. Yeah, this is Batman. Batman 1989. It's a great year.
89. You know, remember when we first started and I was like, can you imagine getting to 100? Well, first I think it was, can you imagine getting to 10?
Yeah.
But like, can you imagine getting to 100? And now.
No, we can't imagine it because it's not happening.
So that dream is over.
It's over. Maybe we'll post 10 in 10 years. And then just get to 100.
One a year?
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see what happens. Maybe we miss it so bad that we come back. It's not happening. But maybe we can put something out there.
Do you have any last beefs?
Yeah, I think this whole episode is my last beef. That's my latest biggest beef.
I definitely was thinking of one earlier and I forgot what it was. But I left the light on, the overhead light on in my car overnight.
Mm.
And I got in my car and was like, oh, shoot. Also another beef. Whenever I'm here, my eye won't stop watering.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have to constantly wipe it.
That's something you won't miss. I want to take a picture of this room, though. Because, I mean, this room's also going.
Didn't we already take a video?
Probably. But I feel like this is good timing. The place is going. We're going. It's all over. I do want to shout out, though, Matt Johnson for making this all possible. Dan
yes.
Torres for making this
yes,
all possible. Ben
you.
Torres. Dan took over editing from Matt. Matt used to edit it for us, and they would post it for us. So I love them both. And this is truly like, I have loved every minute of this, even when I'd be miserable. It was really great to just come here every Sunday and talk about something I love. And talk, and like it was very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. So like my mental health is probably just going to crash after this, and it's all your fault. It's
wow.
all your fault.
Yeah, I said this earlier. I like it. Some days it would seem like a lot to get up, and or like on Saturday nights, I'd be like, oh, I got to get up early. But then once I was here, I loved it.
Yeah,
and yeah, just having something to do, like a consistent thing to do every week outside of work, outside of the theater. Like, yes, this is the theater related, but like something to do every week with friends and, you know, just getting to hear new stories, meet new people. I really enjoyed that. And yeah, I'll miss it.
Me too. And having an excuse to see old friends. Because
mm-hmm.
it's easier than just texting somebody you haven't talked to in years and be like, yo, you want to hang out? Like, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't work like that. So you're like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? And like hearing their stories and seeing them again. It was great. Like, I truly am grateful that we had this experience.
Me too. I think also, like, I text you. I was like, well, you know, I really am just going to miss spending Sunday mornings with you.
Yeah.
Like, we definitely wouldn't have been as close if we didn't do this.
I agree.
And so I'm very appreciative that you even asked me to do this and that we did it together. And it just, like, it established a friendship that we didn't necessarily have before.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was my main thing. I was like, well, I don't want that to go away.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll just start hanging out every Sunday, regardless. And then yeah. invite a new person every time.
Yeah, we have the podcast. We just don't record it.
Yeah. I would do that. I would love that. Yeah, I'm appreciative that you accepted and wanted to do it and have spent every Sunday morning with me for the past 2 years. I'm definitely appreciative of that. Yeah, it's done a lot for my life. Mm-hmm. It's done a lot for our relationship. It's done a lot for a lot of my relationships. So I'm really happy with what it gave me.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening. If you guys listen to any of this or any of the episodes ever, like we didn't expect anyone. We truly did not expect anyone to listen. So hope you got something out of it. At least one of the 89 episodes.
I hope so, too. Yeah, and we said we would do it whether people listened or not.
Yeah.
Because we don't even track. We don't track the listeners or how many people listen.
We haven't looked in, like, a year, I think.
Yeah,
or
so...
longer.
Yeah, we're not up to date on who listens or not, but we still do it. Yeah, thank you to everyone listening who really... enjoyed and would like comment, would like tell us what a great job we're doing. People who really enjoyed it and week after week would come back and be like, oh my god, I listened to the podcast and this, that, and the other, and like whatever they could relate to. I always enjoyed people coming up to me and like sharing whatever story or whatever beef they had, or if they agreed or disagreed. I really enjoyed when I met Claire for the first time, because I came to Superstar rehearsals really late, and then she came up to me and she was like, are you Alex? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I love the podcast. I am a big fan, and I just wanted to say nice to meet you. And I was like, oh my god, someone new, just like didn't even meet me yet.
Yeah.
And already sort of knows where I'm from. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Me too. I enjoyed hearing people who listen to it, and people we didn't expect, people we don't see often, would come and be like, oh yeah, no, I listen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, okay. Like, really cool. But it's gone. And there's no more of that. And everyone will go back to being strangers, and I'll never see any of you again.
And we just won't.
No, ever. I won't see Alex again.
Yeah, we just won't ever talk again.
No, and my mental health will plummet, and that's all right.
But you know what? This isn't a goodbye. This is a see you later.
No, it's goodbye. Like, it's a goodbye. It is goodbye, lock
good
the door,
riddance.
Crack the laptop over my knee. This is over. But it was fun. It was a great, great experience, and I'm grateful for it. I would keep going if I could, but it's not best for business, and this is a business. So, yeah.
But thanks for listening, honestly. Seriously.
Yeah.
And you know what? Follow us on social media.
Follow us on social media, because you're not going to hear from us anymore. So, like, get your updates somehow. Yeah. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
That's all, folks.
That's all. Final bow. We should play off like some kind of music. A little bit of Green Day, Time of Your Life, or whatever. Good Riddance. A little bit of Snow Patrol.
People better be crying at the end of this episode.
Yeah, sobbing. Yeah, follow us on social media, Starry Night Theater, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
Threads.
Got it for the last one. I got it for the last one.
You did.
Let's go. Yeah, I feel like there's so many callbacks that we could have done, but I just am not thinking straight.
No, we didn't prepare it like that. I would have had to really go back and think.
Yeah.
But you know what? Just listen to the old episodes. If you miss our voices, we're always there.
Yeah.
Always on your Spotify or your Apple.
Your
music.
Apple Music, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Or just a... We're just a podcast away.
We're a click away. Okay. We're a monthly subscription away from fully listening. All right. Well, signing off for the last time ever.
My stomach growls. Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.